Well, I think the ultimate decision rests with Dean, and I know that it was a very, very difficult decision for him. I believe that he has great respect for me as a person and as a football coach, and I understand why the decision was made, quite frankly, and I frankly applaud Dean for his willingness to make a change, because he knew that our circumstance was a difficult one, and I don't care how you cut it. In a circumstance like that, you may win on occasion, but it's difficult to sustain it.
That's Marty Schottenheimer. We want to thank ESPN for providing that, and John Clayton, a man who's right in the middle of it all. Thanks for joining us.
Hey, Nick, how you doing?
I'm doing great. I just want to get your take on this, because as I look back at the legacy of the Spanos family, they did make it to the Super Bowl. They got their rear ends kicked by Steve Young, 6 touchdown passes later. They've learned from those mistakes. But do you think this truly was handled as well as it could be?
No, I think it was handled poorly, because to me it was kind of indecisive the way it was. And indecisive in a sense, it's like, okay, what they ended up doing is that they seemed to want to keep Marty, who of course has won 200 regular season games, more for his staff than Marty himself. And I think that was bad. Secondly, to wait this late in the game, it just seemed like, there was no real plan that they had. And of course, you can see where the dysfunction was working, because the staff was falling apart. Guys were leaving, guys weren't happy on the staff. Marty was trying to take care of them. They end up losing two candidates who could have become the head coach. And so I think in a lot of ways it was mishandled. And I guess in some ways what probably should have happened was that if they were going to make a move, they probably in retrospect should have made it at the end of the playoffs as opposed to now.
Now, and the criticism is Dean Spanos felt that Marty had promised that he would be retained with the caveat that he had to retain the core, the so-called core of the coaching staff, and that didn't happen.
Well, the argument obviously had nothing to do with Cam Cameron and Wade Phillips, because there was nothing that they could do to block their departures. But I think where the disagreement came down was three other coaches. Rob Tuchinski, who was the tight ends coach, ended up going to Cleveland for the coordinator job. Greg Minuski, the linebacker coach, who ended up going to San Francisco for the defensive coordinator job, and one of the strength coaches who went to Miami with Cam Cameron. In two of those instances, the Chargers claimed as an organization they blocked the move. Marty, trying to be fair to the coaches, knowing they were in one-year situations, kind of overruled that and was able to get both to get the interviews and go ahead. And, of course, when all three guys were ended up in departure modes, that, of course, irritated Dean Spanos, because he felt that Marty wasn't doing a good job in trying to keep his staff together, even though those three guys were under contract. So that was disagreement number one that led to the final straw that this was going to be a change in the making.
Why so much loyalty to A.J. Smith? I mean, I know traditionally and bureaucratically the power structure, the interaction between the GM and the owner, the president, is going to be more significant. But when it's a different thing when you're in the first, second, or third year of that so-called five-year plan. When you are in the fifth year and you are truly right on the brink, have you ever seen anything like this?
Yeah, in San Diego before, because go back and you mentioned the Super Bowl where Dean Spanos was involved, and the head coach was Bobby Ross, Dan Humphries was the quarterback, and the general manager was Bobby Bethard. And right after that Super Bowl, there was a major disagreement between the general manager and the coach. What Bobby wanted to do was get more input from the coaching staff. Bobby Ross then came back and said, "You don't talk to my coaches unless you clear it through me. I don't want you going through my back talking to my assistant coaches." And so their relationship went as bad as Marty and A.J. Smith, to a point where Dean Spanos had to make a choice. And the choice that he made was to stay with the guy that brought the players as opposed to the guy that coached the players. And so you can see there's a little bit of a history there. But I think a lot of times, you look at this Marty-A.J. thing and think this is a rare instance. It doesn't happen often, but it does happen. I mean, it happened with Dick Geron. Dick Geron, of course, had his problems with Jerry Angelo. You can say to a certain degree it happened with Jeff Fisher and Floyd Reese. A lot of times when you have success, you have the coach who wants to obviously take credit for the success. You want the general manager who obviously wants to take credit for the success. And a lot of times...
Well, who is he? What has he done? What has A.J. Smith done to make this a better team? You tell me, what has he done? Besides the fact that he won the Philip Rivers battle, that Drew Brees was let go, and indeed Philip Rivers looks like he can handle it and take it to the next level, probably. But besides that, what has he done?
15 Pro Bowl players, either as Pro Bowl on the field players or alternates. That's what he's done. I mean, he's assembled one of the most talented teams in football. You know, he parlayed the Eli Manning trade into three Pro Bowl players, Nate Keating, the kicker, also Luis Castillo, who I think many consider one of the best defensive linemen drafted in the 2000s, and, of course, Sean Merriman, who arguably each year is going to be a candidate for Defensive Player of the Year. You look at the offensive line. He picks up in a non-first-round pick, a left tackle, Marcus McNeil, who ended up going to the Pro Bowl. He ended up taking a running back in Michael Turner. You look at that roster, and you can see they're certainly genius. As brilliant as Marty Schottenheimer, and you know because you played for Marty, as brilliant as he was as a coach, A.J. Smith has been as brilliant in assembling the talent on that team. So that's where you can look and say, where does A.J. Smith get his clout? Look at the players. Look at the team.
Look at the losing teams that have tremendous talent as well and have 15 Pro Bowlers that became Pro Bowlers after they left that team. That's my point, that if you don't have the coach that brings in that level of belief and trust, that it's at least 2 years before they have a chance. I will say that, you know, anything's up in the air right now. Anything can happen with a new acquisition, but the chances of having the chemistry, the level of belief, and continuing to take that next step are almost completely gone, in my opinion.
Yeah, it's going to be tough because now, I mean, you know, not only do you have to adjust to different coaches, but different coaching style. And the one thing that you can say, and again, you've now seen it happen at four different places, Marty Schottenheimer's style works with players. They like playing for him, and you can see the success. I mean, everywhere he's gone, he's had success. Now, again, he only had 1 year in Washington, but in 1 year, he took a team that was just really just riddled with undrafted players and won 8 games with them. And he took the Chargers and, you know, taught them how to be a winner. That's a hard thing to try to replace. And so now the pressure is going to be on A.J. Smith to try to come in and find a replacement. I think he can find an acceptable head coach. I think there's, you know, again, it may not be Marty Schottenheimer. It's not going to be a coach with 200 career wins in the regular season, but I do think the problem that he's going to have is filling out the staff, because that is going to be where the downfall of the team could be. If you don't have good coordinators, if you don't have good position coaches, and to think that you can find them this late is going to be very, very difficult. That is going to be the biggest challenge that A.J. Smith has and the Chargers have.
And also the fact that Marty Schottenheimer, coming off a 14-2 season, even if they did lose in the playoffs, the level of talent, as you mentioned, is so extraordinary on both sides of the ball. Seth Joyner, by the way, is joining us. And Seth, you know, when you look at the level of talent there, it's not going to be hard if you're the Marty Schottenheimer in a situation that he has created to attract new coaches of significant quality as well, don't you think? Are you there, Seth? Well, let's go back to John. Let's ask that question of you. In other words, it's one thing when you're a new coach coming in, when suddenly, as you said, just like last time, right in the middle, when they're in the midst of building something with Bobby Ross, they fall apart literally in terms of their appearance to others that might be attracted to that situation. How difficult, John, will it be? You say that they can attract good coaches, but don't you think Marty could have attracted people that could have replaced a Greg Minuski, you know, a Wade Phillips, a Cam Cameron?
I question that just because of how late it is. I mean, the pool of assistant coaches that are available for Marty in trying to replace him is as thin as it is trying to replace the current group. I mean, the one guy you know, obviously, that's not going to be in the mix is Kurt Schottenheimer, who's a very good coach, who's in Green Bay right now coaching the secondary and has actually had great success as a defensive coordinator. Obviously, because he could not come in, they would not let him come in to be with Marty, you know, he's out of the mix. But I contend that Marty would have had as much of a difficult time as the Chargers are going to have. Because remember, you know, this is a little bit of a different age right now, because with as many coaches that are under contract, you just simply can't get them. Now, again, I think that you can put a decent defensive staff together, you know, like, for example, is a real good secondary coach in Rod Perry, who is coordinator caliber, a real good defensive tackle coach, defensive line coach in Patterson, Andre Patterson, who had been in Denver. I mean, there's a couple guys out there that you can do, but the problem is, will they mix together as a coaching staff? And that's the thing that I think is so difficult. You look at the last coach that came in after the Super Bowl. That was Romeo Crennel. You know, Crennel right. comes in with great pedigree, great coaching ability, a player's coach that everybody likes playing for, but he's had major problems keeping a staff together, because putting a staff together this late is almost, I would not say an impossible task, but one of the most difficult tasks you could have in the league, because any one weak coach you have could cost you a couple games.
Seth Joyner is back, and Seth, how, where does this rank when you look at the things that happened in Philadelphia and with the Cardinals? Where does this rank in your experience in terms of doing something that runs completely counter to all the logic when you're that close to a championship?
Well, I'm just actually stunned, Nick. I mean, I've kind of been out of the loop for a little while, and I just started kind of, you know, getting back into the loop again this morning. And to see this, I mean, I don't... You know, a GM doesn't win you football games, okay? You know, he's a great evaluator. If he's on the same page with the head coach, then you've got a great situation. But for you to turn around and fire a head coach who's taking your team from nowhere to somewhere on the verge of potentially being a Super Bowl-bound football team, and then you turn around and you fire that guy because he doesn't get along with your GM, you know, isn't it the owner's job to say, you know, okay, you two play nice and make this thing work out for the best of everyone? I just don't understand.
Well, listen, we're gonna go to a break, and we'll come back with Seth Joyner. But, John Clayton, we want to thank you, my friend. And last question is simply, who would be your pick? Is it Mike Singletary? Is it Rex Ryan? Is it Ron Rivera? Who's your pick?
Well, I'm trying to get the right feel for what is going to be the coach. I mean, I think North Turner is going to be in the final three. I would have to say that Rex Ryan's probably going to be in there, too. And I would hope that at some point within the next year, if it's not this job, Mike Singletary gets a job, because this guy, I think, is going to be sensational. If you watch what he did in the at the Senior Bowl, what a good teacher he is. You can't tell me he's not going to be a successful head coach in this league.
He'd be my pick. Well, you're my pick as well, my friend. Appreciate it, John.
All right, Nick.
Thank you, sir. John Clayton, the professor from ESPN. When we come back, Seth Joyner talking more about Marty Gate. Then we're going to talk about an interesting thing on the other side of the ball, junior player development and youth football with Andrew Douglas and Seth Joyner. Coming up on Head Games on Sports Byline and Sirius Channel 122.